All right. Let's just get started.
Let me bring the phone over there.
Yeah. This is Voices from the Dark. Welcome. Episode number 29. Here today we've got the artist series number 17. And I think this is a special episode. Well, for me it is, because my guest is actually an acquaintance of mine. And we're recording. Yeah.
No, it's just checking to see, like.
No, yeah. I mean, I think we're recording. This is always a question. I always have to double check. Because, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
It's happening.
It's happening. We are in Berlin, which that's a normal thing. But we're in a place called Shiloh.
Shiloh. Yeah. S-H-I-L-O-H.
Yeah. Israeli cuisine. Is that right? Yeah, yeah, it should be, yeah. Everything's good.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so usually what I do in the artist series is, well, I let my guests introduce themselves. The questions that I ask are usually very simple. Sometimes we'll go on tangents and so on. If something occurs to me, I'll ask it, but they're generally the journalistic questions like who, what, when, where, why, how.
Okay.
And, might as well start with that first, you know, who, which is you.
Name is Blake Worrell, and I'm just getting served some wonderful food right now.
We're about to have some food, yeah. Or at least Blake is. I'm just drinking beer.
I am so hungry.
We can take a break at any time that you want to chow down.
Oh, man.
Maybe just give a quick introduction to yourself. And yeah, I mean, you said you're Blake.
My name is Blake Worrell. I'm from Los Angeles. And been in Berlin for about, on and off, for about 15 years. And this, I want to go into details. We're going to do that in the interview. Basically, that's it. My name is Blake Worrell from L.A. Been in Berlin for about 15 years. And hello. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for being here. And yeah. So what's your main art, let's say? If you want to
My main
pin it down.
Art? Audio and visual. That's very vague.
Okay.
Started in music. And actually, music and then in film and post-production. And then back into music and still did post-production. And now full on into film, but bringing music with it.
Mm.
So there's a lot of directors that inspired me that are like one-man bands.
Mm.
And realized, well, you know, if they can do it, so can I.
Mm.
So I'll check that out. So I went to that and I exploring the territory of, because there's all these different jobs, you know, I was a runner, production assistant, you know, even assistant director. In the audio department.
What's a runner? Just for
so basically getting coffee, stuff like that.
Okay.
And they taking care of stuff, tons of odd jobs on the set, just the little things. Passing over messages back and forth to people, helping carry stuff, you know, extra hand, spending time with the actors, you know, helping out the assistant director or whoever else, you know, that kind of thing. I was always behind the camera, and I always did music also, but what I connected with is sound. Like, I really was intrigued by that because of music also. So I got in the sound department. I was working for Roger Corman in Los Angeles, and did about 7 films with him, I think. And
again,
we are in Shiloh, and it is sizzling.
Oh, wow. You can really hear it, too, in the mic. Yeah.
That is awesome. You hear that. That's so cool.
Yeah, you do. What did you order?
I got the shikshuka.
Shikshuka. I don't know what that
is. You should probably do an interview with her. I'm sure she's got a story here.
Well, yeah. I've actually never had a restaurant artist on the artist series.
So yeah. Well, here we go.
Yeah.
Shiloh is this place in Berlin near Rosenthaler Platz, and it's Israeli food.
So what is this here? It looks like
this
cheese?
This is a shakshuka or shikshuka. I don't know how it's pronounced. Mm. And it's basically like a couple eggs and tomato sauce and feta cheese and rosemary. I mean, this is sizzling.
Wow.
I think we're going to have to take a little break.
Yeah, definitely. No but problem. Basically, I mean, it looks really good.
To finish up that thought, or what I was saying before, was that it started in post-production, and then that's how I came here to Berlin.
Mm.
Because people I was working with there, there was a job happening here, and I was like, all right, cool, let's check it out. I was in LA at the time. I was kind of tired of LA and wanted to fly out the nest and came here and turned out my job, turned into my hobby. My hobby turned into my job, which was music. And then I was on tour for about 13 years. I did over 2,000 concerts with a group called Puppet Masters. Yep.
Wow.
And yeah, killed it. And then did my solo act, did release 2 albums, signed on Sony, Universal. And yeah, I did over 30 collaborations. I'm very proud of it. It came to a point, though, where something happened in my personal life where, you know, had to step back and like, oh, what's going on? And basically, you know, completely flipped my career. I was like, all right, I'm going to go back in the film. And this time, I'll end it with this for this halftime. But sometimes in life we're doing things and we don't stop and think like what we really want to do. And it was that moment where I thought, you know, some people think like, if I would die tomorrow, what would I regret not doing? I mean, that's a common theme. And, and you know, you do go to any kind of place where there's old people and offer your services. You can do that in the States. I don't know how it's here. You go there for 1 day, 2 days, you'll have a different perspective on life. My situation was different. And I didn't look at it that way, that kind of like dark or deep, however you want to phrase it.
We can say dark since it's Voices from the Dark.
So for me, it was more, what would I be doing if I had millions of dollars?
Mm-hmm.
What would fulfill my soul? Mm. And I stepped back and I was like, you know what? Film. Like, I want to tell stories. I want to share stories. I want to touch people. Because I touch people with music, and I love that. You know, a lot of my music is about motivation. You know, it's kind of like a musical motivation in a way. I'm telling, like, do it. You can do it. You know, get rid of that fear. The Beast Within album I came out with was about that. Like recognizing it, becoming friends with it, using it to your advantage. And so, you know, some people take time in life, and you know, I think I'm one of those people where I got to experience everything. Mm. You know, some people just jump, you know, they start at a young age and they're full on. For me, I like to check it all out. I'm more about the journey.
Mm.
And everyone, I think, would say, like, just enjoy the journey, enjoy the process.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah. So I think we can definitely get more into that because that's what the show is all about.
All right.
The journey, you know, the kind of challenges and how you overcome them, mm-hmm. which I think really do apply not only to artists, but to everyone. And I think it's that's why we're here. So I'm going to let you enjoy. I can't remember how to even say the thing that you're about to eat.
Shikshuka, I think.
Shikshuka, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, let's take a quick break. And Blake is going to enjoy his Israeli food. And
are you going to do like commercials, like voice commercials?
No, but maybe actually we could, you know, that would be good.
Shakshuka, the best meal ever.
If we can get some sponsors, that would be great. But, yeah. Actually, at some point, when I actually produce the episode, I can kind of insert any of these, any tracks or any samples or clips or whatever that you want.
You're gonna fine tune it.
No, I won't fine tune it. I do like no editing. This stuff. But yeah, so let's take a quick one, break, and come back after your belly's full with Israeli cuisine.
Yeah.
All right. Peace out. All right, we're back. I think Blake, I think he killed that, what was it again?
Oh, man, I was starving.
Yeah.
After doing, so for those of you who don't know, I just came from a presentation teaching people how to use their mobile phones as a film recording device.
Yeah.
And about a 6-hour presentation. I forgot my snacks.
Oh, yeah.
So I just had a liter of water, and that's about it. So, man, I was starving.
All right. So you're filled up.
Pre-filled up. What, little? There's going to be a little bit of crunching maybe here and then.
Yeah, you got some bites left. So basically, I think we got a good sense of who you are. You're from L.A., and you got your start in music and sort of film at the same
the same time. I was just audio department. Yeah.
Yep. And so that's who you are and like what you've done in the past. So let's get sort of, let's move a little bit forward. Like what are you, so the next W question is, what do you do now? So like what's up? What's your...
Right now, just projects. Full on, basically, I've been a one-man band for the last, I think, 2.5-3 years. It kind of goes into, I just jumped into acting and started looking for different acting teachers, finding out what worked for me. Because working in that field of film, I've just seen many different techniques, and I've seen a lot of, you know, successes and failures in terms of learning. There's not just one style out there. And, what I've been doing the last few years is basically one-man band with my phone, just literally making films with my phone.
Okay, and so when you say one-man band, you mean one-man filmmaker, basically.
Yeah, so I write it, I plan it, I shoot it, I edit it, do the sound, output.
And you act in it.
And I even act in it.
Yeah. All right, cool.
And so my wife is an actress as well, so, and she loves to work also. She's very passionate about her job. She's been doing it for about 20 years. It's just great to just, you know, keep on doing it. And, you know, that's what I tell at these workshops or these presentations pretty much. I want to motivate people to just do it, because you have a phone these days. You have this incredible device in your pocket that does a hell of a lot more than taking pictures of what you're doing in the day or communicating with people. You can really communicate with people on a whole nother level. Now, like, you could make films and you put it out there like instantaneously. For instance, Instagram, Instagram stories. You have IGTV that records up to 10 minutes of video.
That's Instagram TV.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And it's free. And that's catching on. And actually, you know, YouTube is a little bit scary about that, because it's a new platform. And it's a whole new platform because it's actually vertical. It's not horizontal anymore.
And what do you mean by that?
So the picture is vertical. So instead of turning your phone, because everyone just has it, that like Instagram stories, that's the start process. You slowly get people interested. It's the same thing with people texting. At first, people were uncomfortable texting. They felt awkward. They would just call first, and they felt awkward. Okay, should I say this? But nowadays, it's just actually you're supposed to text before you call. So it's just this whole process. Also with video cameras, you know, you think of like when Skype came out with video calling, people were really, and now it's just more accepted. You have more people using FaceTime. It's just a natural thing. Mm. So it takes time. So basically, I think this is a medium of communication, and, you know, look at news channels, you know, what they're showing. I think the best stories are told from other people's perspectives. So I like to see that, you know, because sometimes it's just no opinion. Sometimes you really, I don't know if you've seen 13th Amendment on Netflix, but that, that for me, that was really inspiring. Like, wow. Yeah.
I'll check it out.
See that. I mean, these kind of documentaries that just show the facts and look, this is how it is. This is what happens. Terrible, but this is what's really going on. So it gives a little pull back and look at the canvas kind of thing. So that's the thing with what I'm trying to motivate people to do. Look, start small, make some little mini films, micro films, short films. If you really, you know, you feel like it works for you, if it inspires you and you really want to tell a story, then keep on going. And I'm basically showing them the process of how to get there from A to B. You know, everything's on your phone. Notes. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Google Docs. You get pictures, videos, ideas, planning on the calendar, communication. It's all the teamwork is right there. It's already set up for us. I mean, this whole system is kind of built to work together in terms of like phones, you know, communication. So that's there. Mm. So take it to the next step. Well, you got a phone that shoots in 4K. It's 60 frames per second. Hey, you know what? If you want to put something on Amazon, you know what they take? They take 1080p, and that's all you need. Mm. So basically, like, phones have even gone over the top. Where, and for those who don't know, 4K is basically four times 1080p. 1080p is the standard resolution for video output these days. That's what televisions have. You can shoot lower, but the quality is kind of lost. But that's a basic HD. Mm. TV. So yeah, basically, like, hey, you think it, you dream it, you can make it. The limit is what you make of it.
I really like that. That's and so you're trying to be sort of a, what's the word, not a prophet, but a, what's the word, it's like when you stand by something, you're like it's another P word, can't remember what it is.
Well, but planning is a big P word. Yeah.
But you're like a proponent. Yes, you're a proponent of these of mobile phone,
yeah,
films.
I'm trying to motivate people just to make something, to create. I just want to inspire. I mean, I do for myself as a filmmaker. I there's certain films that really resonated with me, like Magnolia, mm. Empire of the Sun. These kind of films that really touch deep. You know, and all, like I said earlier about documentaries, you know, putting light on something that otherwise wouldn't have that much light. Like, I never knew about that. So for me, it's also emotionally to not feel alone in the sense of, you know, a story of someone who had a sex change, mm. you know, their process and how all their friends doubted them and they lost all their friends. And then they got new friends. That's a story right there. So, you know, I don't know anyone with a sex change who had one, but that's something that I'm curious about doing it. And someone who wants to do it and sees that movie, that could inspire them, like, wow, that's exactly what I'm going through. And at the very least, it could be like catharsis to just like, I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of films too. Like, you know, that's why I think like love stories resonate with the public because, you know, heartbreak, you know, you're not alone. Don't mm-hmm. worry. It happens. You know, this one's really bad story here, but it happens. So. Yeah.
And so what are some of your current films? I know that you had submitted a lot of, or not a lot, but you've submitted at least one film that I've seen, or some trailers or clips of it, mm-hmm. To some festivals, mm-hmm. and you won some awards, I think.
Yeah.
And so, what's that work? Can we, like, are these mostly short films?
Right now, it's just short films. What I'm doing with the phone, mm. And teasers. Mm. It's basically to get, like, I want to do a film. Mm-hmm. So the best way that I also share to tell people, like, look, do it, put out the idea, do a short film, but why not do a short film that could be for something bigger?
Yeah.
You know, if you have a feature, rock on. You don't have the connections, guess what? Take a scene, the transitional scene, the main part, like the big, like, crescendo of the film, and make a short about it. Mm. The very least, you'll find someone, you'll meet someone at the festival, and or someone will see your film, and they'll be like, wow, who's that? Mm. What's that? I want to see more of this. How do I contact them? They'll Google you, and boom.
And so how do we find your, you know, your current stuff?
You could just Google Blake Worrell, BLAKEWORRELL, BlakeWorrell.com. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, just Blake Worrell.
Okay.
Just my name, and also Vimeo, also Blake Worrell.
Okay. So, and but your, like, main internet spot is BlakeWorrell.com.
BlakeWorrell.com, yeah. Yeah.
All right. And I'll put that into the show notes and so everybody sure. can, you know, check it out.
I mean, these days it seems like the go-to anywhere from, like, you know, you go like Cannes Film Festival or even any small film festival, you'll see that people just, the go-to now is like Instagram.
Really?
Yeah. At least that's been my experience.
For like a main.
Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, who are you?
Look, check out my Instagram. And, you know, I think that's the thing. Instagram for me has become like my resume. So I just basically like, look, I love to write and I love to do music and I love to do films. So I just show little clips of what I've done, interviews or whatnot. Boom. There it is.
Okay. So then also your Instagram is probably then your one of your main spots to check you out.
Yeah. All right, actually, cool. Yeah. And I'm proud of it because it's cool. It's always, you know, it's important, I think, in these kind of networking mirrors. When we look back, when we look at other people, like this guy has like, you know, 500,000 likes
and, views,
and,
whatever,
and views or whatever. And, you know, that I think it's just don't get discouraged. I think it's important to, you know, see what you want, what do you want to accomplish, and just go for it one day at a time. And don't feel pressured. One thing I say to my students is like, you know, every story has been told, but it hasn't been told your way. You know, and Picasso said also, you know, good artists copy, great artists steal. And so there's, you know, I'm not saying do exact. I'm just saying you got to take something and remix it, you know, make it your own. And that's what I try to do too, like with storyboards, you know, just remix it. Mm-hmm. So like with Instagram, what I want to say, getting to my point is, it's helpful to see what you've done. And you can like kind of, I think too often we're hard on ourselves and we expect too much of ourselves, especially in a day and age where, for instance, keeping on the movie reference, like, you know, Marvel films, and you see that credit roll for like 10 minutes, you're like, man, I'm never going to get there.
It's a lot of people.
It's like, well, you know, guess what? Not one person made the film. They all made it together. And it's just everyone just working for what they love. And each department has a dedicated, that's how they got there. So don't be discouraged. Just, you know, take it easy on yourself and, you know, just, you know, focus on your goal and just one step at a time. You can't make a novel after learning the alphabet. You know, you learn the alphabet first, learn how to read, you read other people's stuff, you get a lot of influence, a lot of inspiration. And you write and you make mistakes. You make mistakes, you make mistakes, you make mistakes. And then finally, there you go. It's the same thing with anything, learning a bike or working out. I use reference also to Olympic athletes. It's common in I've seen in the acting department, you know, a lot of actors get discouraged. They want to go from like A to B super fast. They want to be known. It's like, look, you might have the look and everything, and you could get hired for just the look, but then people are going to see that you can't really do your job right. Maybe you can. There are people that just got it. They have something that works and they've never been to acting school and it works and it hits. It hits home. But 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work that way. And so I say, don't be discouraged. You know, it's someone's story. They have an idea of somebody. Don't be discouraged and just keep on learning. Just keep on learning, you know. So the reference that I make is, you can't become an Olympic athlete overnight. You know, think about them. They train. They wake up. They train like 3 times a day. You know, the only time, if the only time you're working is when you're acting, well, then you're probably not working much.
Yeah. That's a good point.
You got to keep on going. You got to keep that muscle ready to go.
That's a good metaphor. It's the Olympic training. I totally see it. So, all right. So, that's pretty clear what you're doing right now. You got your own films, and you're also trying to encourage and inspire other people to do their own films.
Yeah,
That's amazing.
I just want people to motivate, because the thing is, when I was coming up, or let me rephrase that,
My next question is probably going in this direction, but continue.
Let me correct that. When I was going back into film and after being in music, you know, there was a little bit of people have an idea who you are and who you're supposed to be, and you'll always be that person. So it's very challenging. You know, especially when I was, especially at that time, I had an iPhone 4S, and this is the first phone that was shooting with 1080p, which we discussed earlier is the phone that actually, you know, you could still to this day, you can submit to Amazon and they'll post it and you'll make money off it. I was being laughed at. This is 2012, 2013, something like that. And, you know, it was very, it's very hard. Sometimes it can be pretty discouraging, you know, people that you even look up to. And they just, all of a sudden, they just shut down. Like, man, this guy, I'm not going to hang around this guy. This is weird. Yeah. And then when you are right, you know, further down the line, like, for instance, Steven Soderbergh, you know, his last film, Unsane, you know, he shot with the exact same equipment that I was using.
Oh, really?
So it's just, when it gets to that point, people will just, sometimes they feel uncomfortable and they just won't talk to you. You know, like, oh. You know, you can't go on like, oh, I prove them. Because the thing, I mean, I used to think that when I was younger, I was, I prove them. But I think it's good to get past that. And as a musician being on stage too, you know, there's that young kind of, you know, adolescent phase of, you know, yeah, I'm gonna, you know, I'm going to be the best, you know, get these girls and a lot of stuff. You know, it's like, but it's good to get past that. Get past the ego, because I think what I've learned is there's a lot of pride, and leads to ignorance, and the pride is like, I know this, I don't need to know it, and ignorance is, it's like they don't know it, they just don't know what can be possible. You know, I don't blame them. It happens. And it's going to keep on happening. And the thing is that you don't focus on that. I think as an individual, you got to focus on your goal. Keep your eye on the prize, because you are the prize. You're looking acceptance, but you just got to accept yourself. You just got to be like, no, you got this. You got to look in the mirror and say, man, let's go.
It also helps to surround yourself with people who. Bingo. Positive,
yeah,
things like that.
Oh, yeah. Man, but you know, in my case, it was tough, you know, and you know, it's tougher too when it's like, you know, for instance, your parents or you know, that one person that, you know, they're kind of goofy and you're like, thank you, but you know, you wanted approval from that person who's already making it or whatever, but you're not getting it. So other people are saying you're doing great, but you're just not taking it in. That's the thing, you know. You gotta, get it for what it's worth, where it comes from, you know. And yeah, no matter who it is, even yourself, you know, if you feel like you're doing something right, just keep on doing it. If it gives you chills, if you get excited, if you dream about it, if you know wake up or go to sleep like, oh, man, I really like to do that. Just do it, like, do it.
Yeah.
There's nothing stopping you. You got a phone that you're with every day. Don't worry about those likes. Don't worry about all kinds of stuff. It'll come. Practice makes perfect. You know, you just got to just take it.
Yeah. So I want to go back a little bit, maybe even more than a little bit. You said, you know, that it's tough. You know, it's not easy to do these to sort of do these things, these creative endeavors. So I guess I would say, let's go back to when was the first time that you can remember that you felt like this thing, or you know, you're an artist. You know, when did you have your first artistic impulse, or when did you create art for the first time, if you can remember?
My first impulse was when I opened the book of ILM, the ILM book, Industrial Light and Magic, Lucas Ranch.
Lucas, yeah.
Yeah, so there's this book, like The Making of Indiana Jones is in it, Making of Star Wars. You know, there's all these, that book was like, oh my God. So when I saw how it was made, it was like, I want to be a part of this. yeah, that was at a pretty early age. I don't know how old I was. I think it was, must have been like 10 or 11.
Okay. And so this was the when you realized that you wanted to do film, basically.
Yeah, I knew I wanted to get in the industry. I was really into the effects department, actually. I was like in the, making the creatures thing.
Really?
Yeah.
So like CGI stuff or
no,
or
no, no. This
models.
Is like, yeah, the actual like puppets and stuff. Yeah. You know?
Oh, wow. All right. So Puppet Masters, is that?
Oh, you're making a connection here.
Oh, my God. You have a quite a long career. It's, you know, something to get into.
Yeah.
But I know a little bit about it.
Look, there's always going to be mistakes like or failures, but you can't take those failures. They're just... They're only failing if you didn't learn. Mm. If you learn something from it, you actually gain something. You didn't fail. So, yeah, I've had a lot of things. I've had complete ideas taken from me. I have had, like I said, people laughing at me, not believing in me. You're going to get that. You're going to get a lot of that. You're going to get people taking your ideas or you know, trying to copy you or... you know, putting words in your mouth or saying or pushing you away, you know, trying to get ahead of you. And I try to see it as like motivation for me to go further towards my goal. Then the most important thing is just be true to yourself. And is it what you really want? Or are you just doing it because it's hurting your ego? Because, you know, in this business, music, film, the ego does get involved. And sometimes we got to check ourselves. Be like, all right, well, do I really want this? I should just let this go probably and just keep on focusing. Because sometimes what we focus on is what's going to be highlighted in our lives. And I learned that in the process of having some problems that happen, which triggered my career change. You start to look at, well, what am I, you know, I think I had to take responsibility for it. Like I'm focusing on this, so therefore it's happening. It's kind of psychological. It's like, you know, they say you are what you eat. I think you are what you think. We set our own limits.
Yeah. So, so you spoke a lot about the different challenges that that you've been through and that most people, most creatives, and most people go through. But what? What were those early challenges? Were there any early challenges? So, like when you said you looked at the ILM magazine, or was it a book? Or
ILM yeah. book.
Book, yeah.
It's an awesome book. And for anyone who's in the film, that's like an awesome book to have. It's like a collector's item.
Okay. So, what were the challenges that you had to face back then or now that... you know, kind of, you know, sort of were like turning points for, you know, your artistic sort of journey, basically.
Believe in yourself, to believe in myself and, you know, just, to just, yeah, it's easier said than done, but you gotta just think back to when you were like in school, you know, high school, junior high school. You know, when you didn't make that choice to do that thing, to be with that person, you know, your life would have been completely different. So I think sometimes in our day-to-day lives, we got to stop and think like that. If it was like 10 years from now and I was looking at this moment, where would I have liked to have gone? I think it's like kind of catching up with time, you know? Trying to be in sync by like literally in the moment. So not thinking like, oh, I should have said that or I should have done that. Like actually, if there's any like thing in life that I'm trying to catch up with, it's like really like getting in sync with like, I did exactly what I wanted to do. I ate exactly what I wanted to eat. I drank what I was with the person I exactly wanted to be with at the exact time I wanted to be with them. You know, I think for me, that's the goal is like just catching up with time. And it starts with little things. You got to start a little and get there. But yeah, it's for me, the challenge was really believing in myself, because I was thinking like, nah, it's not good enough. I'm not as good. I would compare myself a lot. Mm. So-and-so this style of music, and like, nah, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. It's like it's a story where I just never thought I was good enough. Mm. And so I just kind of kept it for myself and my friends. And, you know, you always get the, like, where can I get this? And then that kind of starts. And then, you know, it came out of desperation. I was in New York, 9/11, and I had literally arrived 2 days after the event. I was going across the states, and I knew I was going to get a job. And then, of course, when I arrived, everyone's doors are closed, you know. So I couldn't work, and I was like, oh my god, how am I going to live? Like, what the hell is going to happen? I had a place to stay. But I just needed to hustle some money. Mm. And so I was like, damn, I did not expect this. And at that time it was a young age where I could jump into risks like that and be like, oh, I'll figure it out when I get there. But this was something that was like big, you know, everything shut down.
Yeah.
So that was the thing with music. I was like, well, I got, you know, $400 in my name. And ended up printing a bunch of CDs to start selling them on the street. And that's how I made my money to come back here to Berlin.
Oh, wow.
And it was like in that, sometimes in our darkest moments, we could find ourselves. It's like a space, you know. It's like you're in a whole new part of space. You know, you ever see those things on NASA or whatever, you back out and then it's like, you see where all the galaxies are, mm-hmm. but then there's this place where there's complete blackness. It's mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
Guess what? You create your own galaxy. Mm-hmm. You make what you want. It's awesome to be there. And you think about movies, you know, every single movie is about high stakes. You know, it's always moments that change the character. The reason we're so into it, because we want to change ourselves. Mm. So, you know, the highlights of movies are this is the defining moment.
Yeah.
We're focusing on this scene because this guy breaking up or this girl breaking up or them falling in love completely changed their lives. This was, and then there was high stakes. There was like, you know, something happened. It defined them, mm-hmm. you know, Nemo getting lost, you know, he wanted to get out and he got lost and he almost died. And then, you know, it totally changed him. And
to rewatch that movie.
You know, and that experience, and for me it was kind of like that. I was just like kind of lost and like, you know, I know what I want to do. I know where I want to go, and I'm deep down and out in the streets, on the subways with a little boombox at the time with a cassette player, cuz that's all I had. It was cassette days. So, you know how old I am now.
Mm-hmm. Everybody on the show knows that I'm an old man. Yeah. So it's fine.
So there I am, you know, going around the streets, you know, and just selling my music. And within a few months, you know, I had enough money. I mean, I think the hard part in that, I mean, speaking of that moment, the hard part was leaving New York, because I had a plan to come here and I stuck with it. And it was hard to leave New York because I was just thinking about the money. I just want to make enough money to leave. My goal is Berlin. That's like the creative hub right now. And things are happening. I feel like I need to be there.
And this was back when?
This is 2001.
2001, right. Of course, yeah.
And I'm like, I got to be there, you know. Something's happening there. So I was just focusing on the money. Mm. So, like, you know, we're talking about the week before I leave to get, I already booked my flight. You know, I had some boxes I mailed over there already. I'm starting to get recognized in the street. I got people stopping their car like, hey, you're Blake. I know, because my picture was on the album cover. And they put my music on this commercial, and like all this stuff started happening. Like so-and-so gave it to so-and-so. And it was just like, wait, no, my goal was Berlin. I'm going to Berlin. But okay, this is great. But what Berlin offers is greater. And at the end of the day, I'm glad I made that choice. Had I stayed, I mean, we probably wouldn't be having this discussion.
Yeah, probably not. Well, definitely not. I mean, you never know, but, you know, we met thing. Here in Berlin.
So. You never know.
Yeah. So you mentioned a lot of internal and external challenges. Just a quick question. What do you think is the more challenging challenge, the internal or the external?
Internal.
Yeah. Mm. Any particular reason? Or?
You know, the phrase, scared of his own shadow.
Mm.
You know, we are scared of our own shadows sometimes. And...
We have some shadows here making
Speaking
their
of shadows.
Yeah.
Sounds like someone's about to get grinded.
I don't know if that's being picked up on the mic, but it doesn't matter.
I start to remember, think of that scene in Fargo, you know, in the
yeah,
snow.
Yeah, the wood chipper. Yeah.
Yeah, they're grinding away.
Yeah.
So yeah, for the inner demons ourselves, because I think too often you know, people could say things and about us and the thing is we take it and we own it and then we kind of accept it, and there are always going to be external forces, but we get more sensitive to it. You know, we start to question, are they right? I think it's good to get different perspectives and so on, but my thing is this: look, if it's if their opinion is not productive, then you know that's their opinion.
Mm.
So I say internal because you know, like I said, I believe that I was that person. I believe that was me, and it's tough. You know, it's really tough to break out of that mindset. Put it this way. Someone is born, to make it long story short, someone is born with a silver spoon in their mouth.
Mm.
They got everything ready to go. They got servants, all that stuff, washing the clothes. Fast forward to their teenage years, you know, everything's good. They don't ever have to, you know, get their hands dirty, nothing. All of a sudden, boom, like their whole family's gone. They got nothing, whatever. Who knows, whatever happens, some war or something. And basically I'm taking the plot of like Empire of the Sun. Check out Empire of the Sun. Awesome film. That changed my life, too.
That's with...
Christian Bale as a young
Bale
kid.
When he was like, 9 years old.
So that's an example. You know, you take someone who lived that, they just don't have the perspective of what it is to do certain things.
To struggle.
Or, you know, to feel, to be sensitive how you talk to someone. To be aware of things to do and how to communicate, you know, how to deal with life. You're not going to get everything you ask for.
Mm.
You can't get pissed off when you don't get it. So I think it's the same thing. If you apply that to ourselves, sometimes we get used to, being okay. Well, you know, I don't have any money. And it's just, it becomes like you're like stamping it every day and night. I don't have any money. I think you just got to change your way of thinking. I mean, another book that changed my life was, there's two books, Care of the Soul by Thomas More. That really helped me in my down days. And then also, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
I think I know.
If you have not
famous
read Think and Grow Rich, you have to read it. Read it two times. Read it three times, even. If you get an audiobook, listen to that. This book is 20 years of knowledge.
What is it called again?
Think and Grow Rich. And not just talking about money. Talking about like rich in your thoughts. And you have to, you know, it gets into... exactly what I'm talking about. You have to start getting in that mindset.
Mm.
Every day you wake up and you go to sleep visualizing that, and you work for it too. It's not just thing like, well, if I visualize it, it'll happen. No, you have to be active and work for it, and never, you know, we're going to slip, and the thing is not be too hard on yourself. You just got to keep on going.
Yeah. It seems like a recurring theme in your sort of thoughts. Don't be too hard on yourself. Don't be too disappointed in your failures and things like that.
Yeah.
I think that's quite important. So let's kind of twist it around a little bit. I think we have a little bit more time.
Yeah, I think we have about 10 minutes or something. Yeah.
Basically, we spoke about location, mm-hmm. and in this podcast, location is pretty important, mm-hmm. Especially since I'm a foreigner in this strange land here, Deutschland. And in my experience now, you know, speaking to, you know, many artists on this series, and also just, you know, always trying to be around artists anyway, I you know, people travel a lot, artists travel a lot, and it seems to be a thing. Location, space, atmosphere is quite important for artists, and I also think for non-artists as well. But let's see what you think about your relationship to, like, where you are. You obviously are from LA. You went to New York for a bit, and then you with the goal of going to Berlin, and then you said you were here for 15 years, was it?
Yeah, about 15 years now, on and off. I mean, yeah. I go on tour, you know, over 2,000 shows. You're estimating about from 100 to 150 shows a year. So like half the year, I'd be pretty much gone on tour. Mm. I'm just a person, I just got to move a lot. I need to have different scenery. So what's your question? Sorry.
Just what's your relationship to space and place and location, and is it important to you, or is it not, like, how does it affect
Definitely
you?
Definitely important. The thing here, and of course, I'm just, before I say this, this is my own experiences. This is my own perspective, and other people's experiences and perspectives are different, and I completely respect that. But for me personally, after being here for so long, I've felt this place change. And maybe I started noticing more of aggressivity. Same thing in Paris. I used to live in Paris for a little bit. I get really nervous there. I feel like people are more on edge, to put it lightly. maybe it's because, like, a lot of people coming in at once, you know. And also in this day and age, people are moving everywhere around the world. The population is just incredible. It's doubled in the last 20 years.
Something crazy.
So, you know, a lot of people, I think in general, it's not just in your city or my city or anywhere else. It's like, it's the whole world is like, whoa, what's happening? And, you know, people are going to the big cities because that's where the money is. And so I think it's that sense of, like, uneasiness. And I just felt it more here. I think that also being, you know, the temperature, that it's mostly focused on cold and that there somehow seems to be this constant cloud here where you can't really see the sun. I think there was this one a couple of years ago where the sun didn't come out. They said the sun came out for 2 hours between the month of New Year's on January and like March or April or something like that.
What?
That was, I think it was like 2016 or 15. Wow. So yeah, sun super important to live. And yeah, I have to change my environment from that. You know, coming from LA, sun all the time. Oof. It was very cool to be here and have that completely other, like, exotic thing. You know, the nightlife here is incredible. I mean, if you're a vampire, this is the most awesome city in the world. If you just love the nightlife and you never like the sun, this is it. Because it's incredible in that. And I really, you know, I have to say that the city is really special in that way, where you can really find characters and you can really, like, go to some crazy places. It's not just the shopping mall and this restaurant and that. It's like, really, there's some quite interesting places, and it is a special place for that still. Again, just for me, my perspective, it's that point where I just feel like I gotta move. It's the same thing I felt when I was in LA. It's like I gotta leave.
Okay.
And same thing with New York. I enjoy that experience. It was shorter, you know, only lasted for like 3-4 months. And I just like, nah, I got to move. For Berlin to talk a lot, took a lot longer.
So, all right. So location is definitely important. And I guess since we don't have too much more time, I guess we should get to the big questions, which are, well, I guess we'll just start with one of them. Why do you do this? Why are you an artist? Why do you do film? Why do you do music? What's behind it? Like, why? And just...
love.
Oh, okay.
I love it. I feel love from it. It gives back to me. You know, when you tell someone I love you and they tell you I love you back, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's like, it just feels right. And that's why I get to the point of like, now I'm content. You know, I'm not second guessing anymore. Like I enjoy it. Someone doesn't like it, I'm just like, hey, that's your opinion, but I love it. And, you know, there are processes in art, especially where, you know, for instance, telling film, but there is a place for everything, experimental stuff even. I just think, yeah, it's just love. I just love doing it, and I get a high from it. And I think, you know, do anything you want. If you feel good from it, if it makes you feel good, do it.
That's quite clear. All right. So this is a weird question. It's the weirdest question that I'll ever ask on. And a lot of people tell me that it's weird. I know that it's weird. But it's also sort of like the main thing about this show. It's like, how do you do it? It's like, because a lot of people struggle in their lives, in their daily lives, and we spoke about money.
How do you do it?
Yeah, like, how do you, as an artist, like, how do you, because most people are trying to just survive in the world.
Will.
Okay.
It's all it is, will. If you have the will, you have it.
All right.
Willpower, that's all it takes.
That's all it takes. All right. So
you can do anything. Literally, you can do anything that you put your mind to. It might take a little more time than the next person, but it doesn't mean you won't get close to it.
Okay.
It'll happen. You know, I'm talking about realistic goals. I'm not talking about like making things float in the midair and stuff like that. I'm just saying, like, if you work every day, just, you know, I'll make a bet with anybody. I'll give you 10 years, and you'll be a master at it. You focus on something, for instance, filmmaking, and every single day you wake up and go to bed is pushing forward, pushing that envelope, you know, going further than you did yesterday. If you're taking a step further than you did yesterday, you know, one step at a time, you're going to be thousands of miles ahead in 10 years. Thousands. You'd be around the earth already. And that's all I'm saying. Will, that's all it takes. You'll be willing to take that step. I'm going to hang out and I got this party going on with, I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to watch this show, you know?
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
We're going to get going soon.
Thanks. We were just presented with a gift.
Beautiful gift here. Yeah. This is like a cinnamon roll.
Yeah, it looks like a cinnamon roll. I think I'm going to eat it, even though I'm trying not to eat carbs because I'm weird.
So, will. That's all it takes is will. Willpower.
My God, that's good.
Oh, man. That is incredible.
We're doing like a promotion of Shiloh. No, it's very good.
Oh, man.
It's very fresh, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to save this for
it's
after
warm,
the...
warm, soft, yeah. And cinnamony.
Yes.
Speaking about lounging and decided to stay home and watch Netflix.
I have no will to not eat that thing. I mean, it's, you make it sound so simple, but the way you describe it also is I mean, it's an endeavor. It's
a choice. Every day is a choice. Do I decide to go to this party or do I decide to have this interview? You know, do I decide to, watch this tutorial on how to film, or do I decide to play some video games? Mm. You know.
So it's a series of choices, basically.
A series of choices. And you, of course, you got to take time. And I think too often we push ourselves and we don't ever congratulate ourselves. I think that's really important. Mm. We have to give ourselves credit too, where credit's due. And like, you know, this is, you know, you're talking about saying some strange things. There's a strange thing. Take yourself on a date. Say, look, you know, Friday from 5 to 7, yeah, I'm going to go on a date. I'm going to take myself on a date. I'm going to go watch a movie or, you know, go for a walk at that place I never went to, I always wanted to go to. You know? No, I'm gonna do that. Like, you know, and we're actively telling ourselves mentally, this is because you really hustled. You stood up late to finish that part of the script, or you know, do that research on that thing that you didn't want to sit down through 3 hours and listen to that podcast or whatever, you know, because it taught you something. Mm. I think it's really important to do that frequently, because too often we push ourselves and too little we congratulate ourselves.
It's a good point. Mm. I think that's quite good advice, actually. Thank you. For everybody who, even if you're not a, you know, creative and an artist. Yeah, I guess, I mean, I don't really have many more questions. Your answers were very, you were very confident with your answers, so it's hard to even think of like, do I need to dig into that more? It's quite clear where you're coming from. So
let's analyze it a little bit.
Yeah. No, I think look, we can leave that to the listeners. They can analyze it.
Let me finish it with this.
Okay. Some parting words or parting advice, maybe.
Failing to plan is planning to fail. Heard that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good. You know
who said that? Yeah.
I forget the name. It was from like late 30s, early 40s book. Sold like 3 million, which is huge at the time.
But it is good advice.
Yeah.
This is something that you take around with you?
It's just recently something that came up. It's just recently a quote that I found that's kind of stuck with me over the days. And it resonates with me because it's like, yeah, you really have to plan, take a step back. What am I doing? All right, cool. Keep on going. You know, push a little forward.
Yeah.
All right. And yeah, you got to focus on the plan at hand, because we're all here, I think. Okay, let me rephrase that. I believe that we're all here for a cause. You know, if you ask me what the meaning of life was, I would say to learn. Mm. You are here to learn. No matter what it is, even if it's, you know, being an assistant chef or a chef, you know, you're learning something. There's something happening. There is interaction going on. You're not silently just cooking. There's people that you meet in that process. You know, we're, in the grand scheme of things, we're all learning.
Mm.
We know a hell of a lot more than we did 10 years ago.
Definitely.
And yeah, we got to step back and look at that. Like, okay, what's going on here? You know, you know.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you 100% on that. It's all about learning. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's why we do this podcast, Voices from the Dark. So today is what, the 18th, November 18th, Sunday.
Oh,
yeah,
dark. You know, 18 is 666, right?
Is it? Ooh. Oh, wait, 18, 6 plus 6 plus 6, right? That's pretty cool. yeah, so I've been podcasting all day, all night, all day. So yeah, I just want to thank you, Blake, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I think you gave a lot of insight into your specific field. And then also applied that to like just, you know, just people in general. And that's...
thank you.
That's amazing.
I've done hundreds of interviews.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought this was your first one.
And this is definitely one of my favorites.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it was good questions. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Okay, cool, man. Well, you know, best of luck in everything. And
yeah, I totally would be up to do this again.
Oh, sweet. I mean, I'm... Oh, and by the way, you're not in Berlin anymore. You're in Spain, right?
To be announced.
Oh, to be announced. Okay.
Spain right now, but then Yeah, it might be London, it might be L.A.
Okay.
Well,
wherever you are in the world, if I'm ever there and you're there, let's do another one.
All right, man.
That shit would be amazing. Cool, man. Thanks again, Blake.
Thank you.
Have a good one.